Good morning, Texas. This is Mike Paulson from North Dakota. Welcome to our Cup of Goodness program this morning. This is program number 111. I think I'll also take time to say hi to some of our scattered folks out there. We'll say hi to Chris down there in Fort Worth. We will say hi to Terry in SeaTac, Washington. We will say good morning to Mark in Florida, Mark in Delaware, Mark and Chris in California, Garlics in the Philippines, Rick and TNT Hydraulics in Indiana. Good morning to Sam in Georgia. Good morning to Bob in California, Bob in Washington, and Bob in Texas. Steve and Noelia in Michigan. I hope your baby's doing fine. Andrea, I think either you're in Arizona or Texas or Washington. Now, I'm not sure. Gary and Joyce in Oregon. Special good morning to Anita in San Diego. To the three famous Midwestern sisters in Minnesota, Michigan, and South Dakota, soon to be in Arizona, I understand. And, of course, Jeanette in Arizona. Special good morning to Bill in Minnesota and Bill down there in Texas. Carol, I think you're in England. You were in Japan, but I think you're in England now. Joel, I can't remember what state, but I know you're in your car this morning listening to the program. Good morning to John in Georgia. I think you're in Georgia, down there with Hugh in that neighborhood. Good morning to Lucy in Washington, Phil in Missouri, Shane in Idaho, Victor down there in the Texas neighborhood, Wilma in Kentucky, and Jeff and Beverly in South Dakota now. That's a mission couple that was down in Argentina who have now wised up to the mission field, looking at the Paul teachings, and are now in the lonely winter country of middle of South Dakota. And then, of course, I think I'll say hi to Matt in the control room there at the radio station. I suppose you can't help but be forced to listen to this program. You got to check the sound and everything. So those are some of the folks we got out there. It's a good morning to the scattered Christians that are out there. And then anybody else who's in the Fort Worth, Dallas area listening in, I'd sure like to hear from you. And if you're checking in from the website, I'd still like to hear from you. And if you're a visitor or a second-time visitor, or a third time, or a tenth time, maybe you've been with us for 111 programs, you are one sincere Christian. So this morning, we're going to continue, and I'm going to slow down a little bit here. This whole thing started out with topics of praise, things that we can, as it says here in Ephesians and Colossians here, as we speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And in Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And we're going over some specific things that we could be thankful for as the Thanksgiving season is upon us. I know they've tried to take all the Christianity out of these holidays, and not that these holidays even have any Christianity to them, but the one that does, and that's Thanksgiving, where we have a chance to be thankful. I know it's a time for the family to get together. I know it's time to go hunting and shoot some pheasants and some ducks and some geese and some turkeys. I know it's a time of closeness in some respects, but it is a time to be thankful. But you know, folks, we should be thankful every day. I'm giving you some clues here from the scriptures that give us some deeper things to be thankful for. So far, we have looked at being thankful for His admonishment, that He will guide us, He will warn us, He will tell us who and where and what to avoid. From redemption, from the world, we've been redeemed from the world, from flesh, from devil, from the church, from ourselves even. Be thankful for the personal convincing that He has convinced us, not convicted us, but convinced us through the scriptures of what's true, what needs to be rightly divided. He's convinced us about the King James Bible compared to these other modern corruptions and disruptions that are out there. We talked about His righteous judgments. We thank Him for His righteous judgment. He ought to know what's right. He ought to know what is expedient and how to edify. He should know what we could do that wouldn't cause other people to stumble. He would give us the victory over the power that some of these things have over us, especially in music, folks. He would know how to guide us away from pleasing our flesh. We looked at His power, spiritual circumcision, take care of the law, all the things that He has done with that power to us as well as for us. We looked at His strength in program 110, His strength, our strength that He gives to us, our strength is His grace. There's nothing stronger than to realize that God and creator of this universe has done what He has done with this dispensation of grace to the Gentiles. Best time ever in the past, best time in the future, best time in the present. By the way, did you know that when past, present, and future walked into a room, that things got really tense? That's a pretty sad little joke. Sorry, just heard that yesterday. We talked about his mercies, we talked about the honor of his name, and we talked about how in Psalm 138:2 he puts his word above his name. As honorable as his name is, his word is to be magnified above his name. We talked about sound doctrine in Titus and Timothy, that we should have deep, solid appreciation and thanks for the doctrine that he has shown to us in Timothy and Titus. This morning, we're looking at program 111. We're going to look at his righteousness and his faithfulness, and I'm not sure if we'll get past that or not this morning. So be thankful for his righteousness, okay? Now, just a couple of verses here. Right, I got to get my notes here together. I got a mess on this table. I'm disturbing the dog from her sleep. See, I've gone too fast through these verses here and these subjects here, and I've kind of left out some of the Psalms. I got to stop doing that. These Psalms, if we understand rightly divided, you know how to apply these Psalms and how they fit into dispensational truth and dispensational application. For example, Psalm 35, verse 28, "And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and thy praise all the day long." See, now we understand about his righteousness. And if you don't, I'll show you a couple of verses here in a minute that I think you'll understand more why our tongue shall speak of his righteousness. That's what we're talking about, is his righteousness. Not ours, but his. We go to Psalm 51, verse 14. 51, verse 14. You're going to hear my pages rustling and stuff. I just got kind of tired of trying to delete all the page noises and this type of thing from the program. Psalm 51, verse 14, the second half of that verse, that says again, "My tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness." Remember, his righteousness. What should we sing about? We should sing about his righteousness. And what people are singing about today is they're singing about their own righteousness. It's just an amazing thing here. So we go to Psalm 145, verse 7, and we see again where it says, "They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness." Good verses in Psalms. Now, this righteousness thing that's about his. Let me show you something in Romans chapter 3. We're going to jump right into Paul. You knew I couldn't leave Paul out of this. Romans chapter 3. Leaving Paul out of something is like leaving the risen Savior out of something. Not because Paul's the risen Savior, but he's the apostle that the risen Savior went to teach to us Gentiles and to put into this King James Bible. When that which is perfect has come, then all that other stuff in part was done away. So now today, we have a King James Bible. And that's all we need. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. It says here, "But now," meaning after the law, after the Old Testament, after the Gospels, the law days, when Christ is on this earth to fulfill the law, and he was expecting his Jewish family to do the same thing, but he knew they couldn't, so they had to shed some blood to make those things and confess their sins and all this kind of stuff, you know. But now, he says in verse 21, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested." That is a fantastic verse to be thankful for. "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ." Not by faith in Jesus Christ, as your modern Bible say, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, is his faith, "and by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe." See, God gives us his righteousness by giving us his faith. Faith of Jesus unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now, I know a lot of people know that verse. We sure missed on verse 21 and 22, didn't we? And then look at 24. "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." And we read on and we see where it goes from remission to total forgiveness. It's a marvelous direction to see what Christ has done. But it's his righteousness. Now, we got to jump to chapter 10, verse 3. and read something, one more thing about his righteousness that I really am convinced that in the music of people today, as well as their doctrinal preachings and churches and everything, they don't understand about the righteousness of God. Now listen to this here. He's talking about Israel because Paul was concerned for his brethren. Of course he would be. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So he's going to talk about Israel here. The same thing is happening to people today. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. People are religious. They want to do some of the right stuff. They think going to church. They think singing. They think all this stuff that's going on in our churches is pleasing God. But see, it says here, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Then a fantastic verse, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Christ took care of the law. Why people are listening to pastors and why pastors are preaching and teaching in the Gospels, they're teaching the law. Even though they say they're talking about grace and they say they're talking about the risen Christ, they're not. They're teaching what the earthly Jesus taught to the Jews, and that was still the law, folks. That was still the law. That wasn't about God's righteousness being imputed to us. Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 6. Just fantastic stuff. So, if you want something to be singing about, sing about His righteousness, not yours. Let your tongue sing about the righteousness of God. If you don't want to sing, remember what it said in Ephesians and Colossians here. Speaking to yourselves. You don't have to get on a stage. You don't have to get up in front of the church. You don't have to get involved with this, whether you take your family, put them together, and go on tour and help them, the CDs that you sell, pay for your gas and everything. Speaking to yourselves. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Sing about His righteousness and thank Him for it. Praise His righteousness. Let your tongue sing aloud about His righteousness. Well, here's another one I don't think people understand very well. They'll sing the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. I honestly believe they don't know what they're singing about. We're going to go back to Psalms again, Psalms 89. Page flipping, that's just what you're going to have to get used to listening here. Psalm 89, verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. What a faithful God we have. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 25. Take your Bible pages and find Isaiah. You know, it's between Genesis and Revelation. I hope that helps you. We're looking at Isaiah chapter 25, verse 1. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name. For thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. We understand, again, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're talking about the dispensation of grace and the wonderful things He has done. You get into Romans, you get into Thessalonians, and you see the things that He has done. He's not blessed you with a house. He's not blessed you with a car. He's not blessed you with a job, because you could lose that job anytime. Your house can burn down anytime. Your house can fall off the foundation one day like ours did. You can have to move and you can't sell your house. You can lose your job over the simplest thing, or maybe just because of it's time to they shut your job. Now, if that was given to you by God, God would keep that for you. All those things. Now, we understand that the principles of the Bible, God's principles, will give you physical success and strength and right kind of planning and how to go on from this and that, whatever day-to-day, you know, things that take place in this world. I believe this country became what it was because it followed the principles of God. It didn't follow the Word of God. It followed the principles of God. If it followed the Word of God, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in right now. We wouldn't have the politicians we have right now. We wouldn't have the things that we have going on. We wouldn't have these perverted lifestyles taken over. We wouldn't be having good being called evil and evil being called good if this country ever followed the Word of God. But anyway, this faithfulness of God. For thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Marvelous. Isn't that just marvelous? Let's look at some more things about faithfulness of God. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom ye were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you realize his faithfulness allows us to have fellowship with his Son? Well, how do you do that? Pray and hope you're feeling the answers? No, you can talk directly to him, and you can hear directly from the risen Savior back to you through Paul in the King James Bible. That's how it works. What a thing. 2 Thessalonians says this, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." He'll keep you from evil? Sure. Listen to this about establish. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're looking to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Flipping the pages quickly here. We don't have time to spend on the page flipping. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." When he says, the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil? How does he keep us from evil? Does he just step in our way? Do we have those little angels in our pockets, those little guardian angels that keep us from doing the wrong things? No, because if you would look at what's going on in your life, you would see that that angel has not kept you away from evil. It's out there, and you're working amongst it. Some of your family and friends are around evil, and you haven't been kept from that. But how does he keep you from evil today? He gives you a Bible. He gives you the scriptures. He will establish us in every good word and work. He tells us where to go, what not to do, where not to go, who to withdraw from, who to have no company with. See what he does? He's establishing us. He's helping us grow and establishing us with Paul's teachings. Listen to this in Romans 16:25. "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel." That's Paul. You want to be established? Should I say it? You want to be established? You want to get grounded? You want to get strengthened? You want to be established? The word he uses is established, not established, but to establish you. And he says he'll establish you according to my gospel, and my gospel is Paul. That's Paul speaking there. If Paul wanted this to be established according to the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John gospel, he would have said according to Jesus' gospel But he does, he says, according to my gospel. In fact, let me show you a fast little bunny trail. Romans chapter 2, verse 16. When you go to your judgment seat of Christ, if you're truly a Christian, if you truly are saved, if you haven't been caught up by the false teachings, you know. And in Romans chapter 2, verse 16, he says, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel." So Jesus Christ is the judge. We know that. But the gospel that Jesus is going to judge our works by is Paul's gospel, Paul's teachings, Timothy, Titus, Thessalonians, Philippians, Colossians, Ephesians, Romans, Corinthians. See what we're saying here? This Bible is very clear. You want to be established? Do you want to be kept from evil? The Lord is faithful. He will do so, but he will do it through the King James Bible, rightly divided, looking to Paul's gospel so that you can be established. Now, if you still doubt that, listen to the rest of that verse, 16:25 of Romans. "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, comma, and the preaching of Jesus Christ." There you go. Is he talking about Jesus Christ in the gospels? No. He's talking about the preaching of Jesus Christ, the risen Jesus Christ, because the rest of that verse says, "And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery," and that's Ephesians chapter 3. And Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, And here's the mystery, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister, that's Paul. Okay, so this is what we're seeing here. We're seeing that we will be established. His faithfulness is given to us through the scriptures. And if you want to be established, you want to be established according to Paul's gospel and the preaching of the risen Savior. It's just that simple. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13 says, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. Even our Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. See, coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. See, when he comes down, we'll be coming with him. Revelation 19, verse 14 talks about that. Marvelous stuff going on here, folks. You just want to allow him. His faithfulness is forever. The Lord is faithful. And his faithfulness will establish you and will keep you from evil. If you read that King James Bible and look according to Paul's gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, that's Paul, because it says, which was kept secret since the world began. And see, that's exactly what he said in Ephesians chapter 3. And he will establish our hearts unblameable in holiness. Our outside walk, our fleshly walk, our physical walk is not unblameable. It is not a holy walk before God. But he will establish our hearts so that they are. And then the works that we do will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. And if anybody's out there wanting to know what those works are, and you're trying to find a preacher on the internet, you're trying to find somebody that will teach you that stuff, listen, just open your King James Bible and start reading Paul's books. It's that simple. You don't need the pro guys out there deceiving and being deceived, seducing. They're waxing worse and worse. It's getting worse out there. Just get your scriptures, open them up. And he says in Thessalonians here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, and that's Paul and Barnabas and Timothy and these guys, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. That's the power we have, is that word of God will work effectually in us. You want to find out about the things you should do that please God? Read your Bible. King James Bible. Rightly divided. Look to Paul's teachings. That's where it's at. You don't need to go skipping all around the web world, the internet, trying to find somebody. In the meantime, being poisoned with the little things that you don't even know you're being poisoned with. It's the Paul guys that want their ears tickled too. They can't endure sound doctrine, so instead of just reading something that simple in Timothy and Titus, especially Titus chapter 2, if you want to start off with something, jump in Titus chapter 2. But then again, I have to tell you, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, I don't hear many pastors preaching that one. I preach that, and I can feel the darts and the jabs coming back from the congregation. I preach chapter 5, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 11, 12, 13, and 14, and 15. That was pretty tough for people to hear. And if you go into Titus chapter 2, marvelous stuff. But what about Titus chapter 1, verse 6? I mean, there's some we're going to have to talk about them one of these days, but I really don't want to do it yet. I'm not sure people can endure what that sound doctrine is going to do to you. Still like to have you be listeners on the radio a little while longer. Because when I teach those things, it's going to be sayonara to some folks out there, and we'll eventually have to stop the radio program because the financial support won't be there. You just want to have your ears tickled, and I'll quit tickling your ears is what's going to happen. Well, how can you say that? I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen over and over and over. So let's get back on the track here. So this morning, we looked at his righteousness, and we looked at his faithfulness. That got us through two more items. I probably have about 15 more to go, or whatever the number is. It looks like about a full page worth of things, the topics of praise. If you want to sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord, God himself has given us ideas in his scriptures of what you can be singing about with your psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So we'll let it go at that. We'll play a few piano melodies here, and you sing along or just think along. I have told people that I'm a fantastic singer when I think sing. You should hear me think sing. I am fantastic. But you know, it doesn't really matter, does it? Once it hits my mouth, something happens to that music that I'm singing. Something happens to that melody that I'm singing. So there were some more topics for you to speak to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You're letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, because I'm teaching you the Word of Christ about what it is that we could be teaching and admonishing one another with in these psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that you want to sing. But if it's just you, just sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Don't be looking for any church programs, music departments. Don't be looking for those worship teams and those worship leaders to take your supposed talent and put it into this performance. Just sing to the Lord. Sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And I'm giving you some things to sing about. We'll talk to you in the next program.